won't cool down and we can make it on in here. Glory.
You and I are blessed. We are blessed above measure, really.
Amen.
Because as Sister Pepper was sharing, you and I have God's Word. Hallelujah. You and I have the most precious thing we could ever have. Almighty God, moving through the minds and the voices and the bodies of men, moved by the Holy Ghost, begin to write it down. Only God could have done this. And as Sister Pepper shared what she shared tonight, Brother Jason shared about the very middle of the Bible, the very middle verse of the very middle book, and what it said, and I couldn't help but think after he got done, the only place you'll find that is in the King James Version Bible. And that just lets us know that God's hand was on it. Hallelujah. Because there's so many things in it that you just don't see with the natural eye. They are spiritually discerned, and there are some things there that God just shows His handiwork of what He did when He gave us God's Word. Hallelujah. Does that not excite your soul? Are you excited, Matthew? All right. Praise God. Just want to make sure. I want you to be excited tonight. Everybody got a pen? We got a paper? It's already up there. Servant Review number 2. Serious Servants Institute, School of Ministry. I remember the video by Brother Clendenin, the discipled servant. We entered and put that into our teaching. These were the 10 points that he covered in that message. And you did well. I mean, you did good. It's just, you know, the discipled servant. The church is a living, reproductive organism. It's just not a building. It's the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And it's alive. The church is alive. It's living. Amen. And I like what he brought out. Number 2, every evangelist from Paul until now who has affected his generation for God has dealt with this thing we call the church. Amen. This living organism, this living body of Christ. Hallelujah. Your Sunday school lesson this morning was on unity. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. Every part fitly joined together, doing its job. Praise God. Hallelujah. So don't ever think that you don't have a part to play. Because you do. You may not have figured out exactly what it is, but the fact is you have a part. Amen. And that part for everybody is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the house of God. Faithfulness to the kingdom of God. Faithfulness to the work of God. Hallelujah. And that's what he meant, dealt with this thing called the church. In other words, you know, Paul evangelized. He went throughout that known region of the Gentiles and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he evangelized and he brought souls into the kingdom of God. And when souls were brought into the kingdom of God, they needed a place of worship. That's the way it's always been. They needed a place of worship. Worship started in homes. And then eventually as time rolled on, then they generated buildings for worship, you know, just like they had the synagogues, you know, in the Old Testament times, in the times of Jesus. Then they began to have places of worship. And that's why we have a place of worship here at Calvary Lighthouse Church. We're just following that pattern. And they dealt with the church that the church would remain alive.
that the church would remain functional. Hallelujah. And what I mean by functional, empowered with the Holy Ghost of God, where the Holy Ghost could move and work wonderfully in the hearts and lives of believers and those that are lost. And then he talked about to set the church in order. You got to begin with the basics. Amen. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we just get away from the basics, trying to do so much to be that third passenger and keep pressing forward, we kind of lose sight of the basics. In other words, our prayer life, our Bible reading life, our Bible study life, just the basics. Kindness. Hallelujah. Jason shared about that kindness here tonight. I mean, that's a basic thing of the kingdom of God. That's a basic thing of being a Christian. But sometimes in our battle and our struggle and our efforts to be a Christian, we quit being a Christian. We forget that Christianity is all about love. It's all about kindness. It's all about goodness. It's all about preferring our brother before ourselves. It's all about, that's what the fruit of the Spirit's about. Hallelujah. And we sometimes get focused in on the mechanics of the church and forget about the spirituality that we need to be displaying in our lives. And so to set the church in order, we got to get back to the basics. Number four was, so we look at this person. The Bible calls a disciple. That's us. Disciples. Believers. Followers of Jesus Christ. Christians. And I think most of us remember and understand they were first called Christians at Antioch. Antioch was a Gentile church. And it wasn't actually the believers that called themselves Christians. It was actually the unbelievers that called them Christians because their behavior was like the Christ they preached about. And so Christianity and the word Christian was not actually derived by believers. They just called themselves believers, disciples. But those that were lost and undone saw their life. And they started calling it, oh, that's one of them followers of Jesus that they call Christ. You know, they're Christians. Wow. Is that what people think about you when they see you? That's a follower of Jesus Christ. They act like Jesus Christ. A disciple. Number five, this is an age when the heat is on the Christian. Ooh. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, there's two different kinds of heat. There's the heat of persecution. There's the heat that the world tries to put you on a hot seat to try to make you fall and falter. And then there's another heat. Remember John the Baptist said he'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire? And whose fan is in his hand. Woo. There's a heat that God turns up that makes us uncomfortable in our disobedience, that makes us uncomfortable in our sin. Sister Lindsay brought up something just the other day. You remember the story of the parable of the fig tree that wasn't bringing forth any fruit. And the owner said, let's cut the thing down because it's just cumbering the ground. It's worthless. There is no fruit here. And the laborman, I'm just kind of paraphrasing it a little bit. The laborman said, oh, but let me dig it up. Let me dung it. And let's give it another chance. Well, if you know anything about natural fertilizer, that's what that was. That was where they went down to the barnyard, so to speak, went down to the stable, so to speak. They scraped up all the manure, and they put it all around that tree. But how many, you may not know this, but when that manure is all put in one spot, it goes through a chemical reaction, and it gets hot. So he wasn't just saying, let's give it a little fertilizer. And the parable was really talking about, let's turn up the heat just a little bit so we can wake this thing up where it can start producing fruit. Woo. Hallelujah. So now we got a little bit more of a churn here on this is the age when the heat is on the Christian. Because the heat is on. If you're claiming to be a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ, they're going to look at you and say, prove it. And they might just laugh at you and say, prove it. They might spit in your face and say, prove it. They might slap your face and say, prove it. The heat is on. Woo. They might say those things that they know will get under your skin. They might push your buttons if they know where your button's at, so to speak. The heat's on. They're trying to see if you really are what you say you are. Number six, life is a miserable thing to a coward. I don't think anybody wants to be called a coward. Would anybody want to be called a coward here tonight? Does anybody think of yourself as a coward? So he's making a mention here. It's a miserable thing to the coward. So who was he talking about? He was talking about those people who won't stand up for Jesus Christ if the pressure's on, if the heat's on. If they're around the world, they'll be like the world, but if they're around the church, they'll be like the church. That's a coward. And life is miserable for a coward because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's what James told us. So Brother Clendenin was sharing the fact that we don't want to live in misery. We want boldness. He went on to talk about that, but we'll go to number seven. God is looking for quality, not quantity. Seems like I can't get anything accomplished for God. Then you need to focus in on one area of your life and make it quality. Quality, because we're going to get to the end of servant's review and it's going to be talking about that perfection. Quality and perfection go hand in hand. Quality, not quantity. Quality is rightly dividing the word of truth. That's quality. Quantity is just get them saved any way you can, let them in through any gate, any door, any way, and let them do whatever they want to do, and we'll just add them to the number. Come on in as you are. It doesn't make any difference. God loves you, and they just leave them as they are, and come on in, come on in, come on in, and make sure you put some in the offering. They're after quantity. God's not after quantity. He's after quality. He's wanting the sinner to come to repentance. Hallelujah. Come for deliverance. Come for life-changing power. Come to be transformed into the image of Christ. Come and be delivered from your sin and learn to walk in the ways of God by the newness of life that I'll put in you. Woo, praise God. Quality. Amen. Hallelujah. Number eight, God is calling for disciples of courage. Once again, courage is the opposite of a coward. Courage is standing up for Jesus Christ wherever you're at, wherever you are, whatever you do, you're doing it all for Jesus. You're doing it as unto the Lord. God is not a God of convenience. Oh, we are we not creatures of convenience? Don't you love air conditioning? Hallelujah. We would be very, very miserable in this building because there's not a window on in this sanctuary if there was not some air conditioning. Hallelujah. Well, that is a convenience that we have. You know, we don't get that all the time and everywhere we go. And, you know, when one of these air conditioners breaks down, I mean, we are very, very serious about getting it fixed. We like that convenience. But God is not a God of convenience. He's a God of quality. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of righteousness. You're going to find that righteousness is not always convenient. You're going to find pushing the stagecoach is not always convenient. You're going to find that working for the Lord is not always convenient. So if you're looking for a convenient life as a Christian, you're looking the wrong way. Because it is a life of inconvenience, because that's where power is found. When I am weak, I am strong, is what Paul said. When I die, then Christ is alive. Hallelujah. And so we see here that it's not a God of convenience, because convenience is actually a term of the self-life or of the flesh. You know, the flesh likes it convenient, likes it easy. I don't want to have to lift a finger. I just want everything brought to me. Oh, yeah. See, God's not a God of convenience. He says, arise. Woo! Arise, seek my face. Arise, fight the fight of faith. Arise, be a soldier of the King. Hallelujah. It's not, I don't know, has anybody in here been in the military? Brother Kennard's been in the military? What, was boot camp convenient for you? No. 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 See, it's not about convenience. It's about learning, walking, marching, doing. Praise our God. Glory. So the call is to courage. God is not a God of convenience. And then number 10, he was talking about how that the church of this day and this hour is pushing a cheap grace. And they're presenting it like cheap Jack's wear, which is cheap clothing. And they're not taking anything about the Bible serious. It's just all thrown away at cut rate prices. It's just like anything goes. Whatever you want to do, however you want to live, God loves you so much, He would never send you to hell for disobedience. Wow. None of that sounds like Bible to me, because that's not what the Bible says. God's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a gracious God, but He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. Hallelujah. And He will not tolerate sin. Sin will be judged. That's why He provided for a way to be set free from it. I mean, wow. It's totally against the gospel of Jesus Christ to try to tell somebody it doesn't make any difference how you live your life. Because if it doesn't make any difference how you live your life, Jesus would not have had to die on Calvary. And He'd not had to die for the sins of the world, because it doesn't make any difference. And so you can see how cheap that is, how much of a lie that is. Because it makes all the difference in the world how you live your life. Because if you're not living for Jesus, you're a sinner. No matter how much you confess a Christian or Christianity, if you're not living for Jesus, you're a sinner. And if you're saved, then you're living for Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're lifting Him up. You're exalting Him. You're following Him. You're being like Him. You're letting Him have your way. You're a serious servant of an almighty God. You're a third-class passenger, and you're ready to get behind whatever He's doing and push with all your might. Oh, praise our God. Glory. Glory. And then we moved on to the servant's discipleship. So he preached about a disciple servant. Now we move on to a servant's discipleship. And we began with Matthew 16, 24. And then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I just want to interject here. There's three phases here. First, says, if any man will come after me, the first phase is let him deny himself. That's talking about humility. That's really what that's talking about. To deny myself means I'm going to humble myself. That's not necessarily talking about death to the flesh right there. It's talking about humbling myself. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I've got to humble myself. I've got to deny myself. I've got to deny my desires. I've got to deny my will. I've got to give it to Him. I've got to humble myself before Him. Then I've got to take up my cross. Now it's talking about the crucifixion of our flesh. In other words, I've got to humble myself, be willing to die to myself, and then start following Jesus Christ. You'll never be able to follow Jesus Christ if you're not serious about dying to yourself. It just won't happen. Remember what James told us? Submit yourselves unto God, then resist the devil, and he will flee. So to submit myself unto God, it's like what Paul said, I die that Christ might be alive. Hallelujah. Then he said, I die daily. So the only way Christ can be alive is if I am dead, mortified, no right to myself. Hallelujah. I belong to Jesus. So here's the servant's discipleship. It's a state. Where are you at in your walk with Jesus Christ? Are you humbling yourself? Are you crucifying yourself? And are you following Jesus Christ? John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Praise our God. And so, servant's discipleship, it's a place where I'm walking. It's a place where I'm living. And I'm not walking in darkness, and I'm not living in darkness, but I'm walking in light, and I have life. And then that quote of Oswald Chambers, darkness is my point of view, my right to myself. Light is God's point of view. So am I walking according to the way I want to walk? Or am I walking according to the way Christ wants me to walk? Hallelujah. If I'm just walking the way I want to walk, I'm picking and choosing what I want from God's Word, then really I'm walking in darkness and not in light. I've got to walk in the light as He's in the light. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on Him, here's that big little word, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. Praise God. That is not just talking about knowledge or thought of mind. That is talking the same way that I might know Him, speaking of Jesus Christ. That is talking about the passion of the heart and the reality of the truth. Hallelujah. Because just having knowledge of the truth and reality of the truth is two different things. I had knowledge of truth for 23 years of my life. And then when I got saved, born again by the Spirit of God, and let Christ come into my life, hallelujah, then I had reality of truth. Praise God. And so this word know is not just talking about knowledge, it's talking about reality. And ye shall have reality of the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. So it's when you have reality of truth, what is that? That's when it's come into your heart, it's come into your mind, and it's changed your life. That's reality of truth. Praise God. And that's when you're free. Because you have changed from darkness to light. That's what that scripture is talking about to you and I. That's our discipleship. That's where we're living. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now once again, there's that word know. That's just not a word of, oh yeah, I know. Yeah, they're down there somewhere. I know people. No. He knows you. He's personal. He's close. He's in us. Hallelujah. And He knows us. And they follow me. Praise God. Hallelujah. They follow me. Then we move to a servant's desire. And these are all the teachings we've discussed about serious servants of the Lord. This is where, you know, God wants us to be so that he can pour his Spirit out upon us to empower us to reach others. Not just pour his Spirit out upon us so we can win our battle over ourselves. He'll do that too, and I'm thankful he does, but he's wanting to take us deeper and higher than that. He doesn't want us to have to live all of our Christian life just fighting our flesh. I mean, if you live all your Christian life just fighting your flesh, you ain't going to get much accomplished for God. You just thought that was a whole battle, didn't you? You just thought that was a whole warfare. No, no, that's just a small drop in the bucket we just can't seem to get past in these last days. But you'll get past it, hallelujah, if you keep pressing forward. Amen. You become that serious servant of God and let God's word transform our lives. Amen. And then a servant's desire, an emotion or excitement of the mind, a passion excited by the love of an object and directed to its attainment and possession. Desire, when directed solely to sensual enjoyment, differs little from appetite. Desire is that internal act which, by influencing the will, makes us proceed to action. Wow. Woo. Help me, Jesus. Desire. Why do people fall into sin? Because they desire it. Because it's that passion, that desire, that longing for the wrong. Why do people overcome sin? Because of desire. They desire to overcome. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. See, that's the whole thing that's missing in a lot of Christianity today. They don't realize their desires are in the wrong place. Hallelujah. The desires must be upon Jesus Christ. The desire must be that internal act of love for Christ that will influence our will, that we'll proceed to action of being more than conquerors and overcomers in this life. It all comes from passion and desire to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. To follow Jesus. To move at his command. And his will be done and not my own. Glory to God. There's power right there. But if you don't have any of that going on in your life, then your desire is usually the wrong direction. And you're the only one that can change your desire. Has it ever rolled over in your mind, bothered your mind, why none of the religious leaders in Jesus' day would follow him? Miracle after miracle. Grace after grace. Kindness after kindness. But none of the religious leaders had a desire to follow him. Now, Nicodemus did. Joseph of Arimathea did. You find these two religious leaders helping at the cross. But it's because their desires changed. They perceived who Jesus was, and they desired to follow him. Praise our God. Desire is everything. Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Desire. 1 Peter 2 and Chapter 2, 2 and 3, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye tasted that the Lord is gracious. See, grace. Grace pushes us. Grace teaches us. Grace helps change our desire that we want the word of God because we want to grow by God. Hallelujah. And his word helps us to be fruitful for his kingdom. Colossians 3 and 8. But now ye also put off all these. Oh, boy, here we go. Oh, man. And look at the first one. Can you imagine? Anybody in here ever been angry? Oh, I had to ask that, didn't I? Because that's the first thing we're supposed to put off. Woo, yeah, we've all got angry. Why? Because it's part of our emotions. This is the one I love the most about people who say, well, I'm not an emotional. When we're trying to get people encouraged to praise God, get excited about God, get joyous about God, rejoice in God, and they always say, well, you know, I'm not an emotional person. But I say, wait a minute, I beg to differ with you. Have you ever been angry? Well, yeah, everybody gets it. I said, that's emotion. Most of the time, it's emotion out of control. Some folks say, well, I just like to be in control. Oh, have you ever been angry? Well, yeah, well, that's emotion out of control. So you can't tell me you're not an emotional person. The only way you could be a person that had no emotions, you'd never get angry, never get frustrated, never get mad. No one could ever offend you because you have no emotions. So really, we're all emotional, aren't we? Some folks are a little more emotional than others. Some folks are a little too emotional. And the Spirit of God has to correct that. Some people don't show enough emotion, and the Spirit of God has to correct that too. Because the Spirit of God wants to have all of our soul, spirit, and body. Hallelujah. And so we see then emotion is a very important part of our Christianity. But we want to make sure that we put off anger and wrath and malice. See, anger leads to wrath. Because anger makes me want to get even. And when I do something to get even, I've moved to wrath. And malice is never forgetting it and always wanting to get back at it. Wow. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Beware of what lingo you pick up when you work in this world. Because a lot of times, without even thinking about it, you'll pick up filthy communication and you'll not even realize it. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Praise our God. Putting off the old, putting on the new. Hallelujah. So I've got to realize if these things start showing up in my life, I'm putting on the old man and taking off the new. That's supposed to be a red flag. That's supposed to be a warning sign. That's supposed to be a symptom that I'm not really walking with God like I should. Man, because I've got to put on the new man. That takes effort. That takes courage. That takes power. Hallelujah. And God provides all of this. Put on the new man. And that new man is the renewed knowledge from God's word of what Christ would be. Because we want to be just like him in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then we went on to, here we'll close with this one, the servant's perfection. Well, nobody's perfect. Well, that is so true, but are you striving for it? Are you striving for it? Perfection, the state of being perfect or complete, so that nothing requisite is wanting, perfection in a system of morals. So really, you know, perfection is based on whether I'm walking in the light as he's in the light. It's not necessarily talking about whether my character is completely perfect yet or not. Am I walking where God has revealed to me I should walk? Am I walking where God's word has shown me where I should be? Then I am perfect before the Lord. Doesn't mean I'm a perfect person in the sight of everybody else. but I will be in perfection with Jesus Christ because I am walking where he has asked me to walk. I am doing what he's asked me to do, and I will be there. And when he asks something new of me, then perfection will depend on when I change. Praise God. And so we see then perfection, moral perfection. We're seeing a quality. See, once again, quality. God's not looking for quantity. He's looking for quality. And so part of the definition of perfection is a quality. Endowment and acquirement completely excellent or of great worth. In other words, he's looking for excellence. The next definition, an inherent and essential attribute of supreme or infinite excellence. I mean, he's wanting us to be like him. So if he's excellent, that's what he's wanting from us. I mean, it's just he's asking that of us. And then when we make that choice, well, that's when it transpires. And it's not a matter of me producing excellence. It's a matter of me submitting to his excellence. Hallelujah. Exactness. To imitate a model to perfection. Are you wanting to be exactly like Jesus? Or are you just wanting to settle to be like what you think Jesus might be like? That will get you in great trouble. Great trouble. Hebrews 10 and 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So the Old Testament, the shadows, the types, the symbols, even the sacrifices, they couldn't make followers perfect. But then Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And then Psalms 18:32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. So now we're getting insight even from the psalmist. I mean, the declaration is God wants us to be like him. He strengthens us that our way will might be perfect. Psalms 101:2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Amen. Brother Jason said kindness needs to start with your family. Hallelujah. The psalmist said it needs to start with your family. Hallelujah. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I mean, a perfect heart, what is that? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, faith. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, all truth, righteousness, all goodness. Hallelujah. You can throw kindness in there. I mean, it's all there. Praise God. Right there in my house. I want to do that at home with my family. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them. Oh, there, that terminology, once again, there's action. There's action. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's one of them promises that never changes. It's immutable. Hallelujah. I mean, we make the move towards God, coming away from our sin. Hallelujah. And leave it behind. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. It's his promise. And I'll be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, and saith the Lord Almighty. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Action, action, action. Praise God. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work,
This man shall be blessed in his deed.
It's all about
doing. It's all about looking into God's word and staying there and continuing there and moving forward there and doing what he's asked us to do. He will bless. He will bless. If you're feeling a little short on the blessings of God, you need to go ahead and check whether or not you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't get mad. Don't get angry at everybody else. It could be you. Sometimes God just moves in such mysterious ways. He knows what will get our attention. If it seems like your finances are a little short, and it just doesn't seem like there's enough there to cover the territory anymore, very first thing you want to make sure you've done is paid your tithes. Because if you're not a tithe paying and faithful to it, then God ain't going to bless your finances. I'm sorry. He's just not going to. If you've got more devices and more toys and more pleasurable things that you really don't need and your finances are short, you know, God's going to try to make us wiser and help us understand to quit spending our money on things we don't need. Woo! We got to learn to be content with what we have. Not always get the next greatest, newest thing, even if it's a, oh, look out now, a tool. That one was pointed. Praise God. We've got to learn. How many's ever heard this terminology? Money don't grow on trees. It don't. That's right. Because if it did, I'd have a bunch of them in my backyard. But it don't. Money only comes when I put forth effort and I work. That, to my knowledge, we don't go to the casinos. Because that's not how you earn money. That's how you lose it. We don't sign up for every sweepstakes that comes along in the mail, hoping we're going to be a millionaire. And our first thought is, oh, if I win this sweepstakes, I'm going to pay my tithe. And you probably haven't paid tithe before. But if you'll go out and put in an application at a place that's looking to hire, and they're everywhere, you'll begin to earn money. And then as you give God his portion, the tenth, right off the top of your check, he will bless you for that. Hallelujah. And then if you'll put the rest of it in the bank, and then pay all your bills, buy your groceries, and then whatever's left, leave it there. Don't think just because you have money you need to go out and buy something. Because you don't. Because if you always spend it, you'll never have any left. You got to be wise stewards. So whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible talks about every area of our lives. And every area of our lives, sooner or later, should the Lord tarry, will come under subjection to Jesus Christ. Just one day at a time, one truth at a time. Hallelujah. God does not expect as much out of a newborn babe in Christ as he does of someone that's been saved for 39 years. God does not expect as much out of Weston as he does, Brother Pepper. God does not expect as much out of Addison. Young lady, teenager now. He expects her to walk in all the light she has. You know, she don't have near the light I do. And so God expects me to walk in the light I have, not the light she has. God doesn't expect you to walk in my light. He expects you to walk in the light you have. But the glorious thing about it, being a pastor of Calvary Lighthouse Church, I get to share my light with you so that you can walk in it too. Praise God. That's what you got to understand. What I share with you, I share with me. And God expects me to walk in the light he showed me. And now he expects you to walk in the light he showed you. Praise God. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano tonight? The Serious Servants Institute. Hallelujah. Will it ever be done, Brother Pepper? Well, I don't know if it will or not. Because really, it covers Genesis to Revelation. The Serious Servants of God. So I may have to change the name of it and go a different direction. We'll still be preaching the Word. We'll still be stirring our hearts, stirring our souls, drawing us to a closer walk with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I miss Brother Mike Price. But one of the things he always talked about was, he said, I'd never been to a church before like this church. He said, every service in this church, the Word of God is preached to challenge me to a closer walk with God. He said, I've never been in a church like this. I believed him, because there ain't a whole lot of them around. They're very few and far between. So many churches have fallen to the peer pressure of society and lukewarm saints, and they've dumbed down their message so they can keep their numbers. But that doesn't keep the power of God, and that doesn't keep the presence of God. And that's why they've had to generate these false movements and give way to doctrines of devils. Because if I'm not challenged to be more like Jesus, I'm not in the right church. I'm not in the right place. Because that should be the desire of a believer's heart. More and more and more of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your power, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful, mighty way that you moved in service this morning, the manifestation of your Holy Ghost, and Lord, touching our hearts, touching our minds, touching our lives. Hallelujah. And Lord, the opportunity that we have, Lord, to be in Sunday school, the opportunity we have to be in Serious Servants Institute, God, just your word coming to us over and over and over again, Lord, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against our God. What love, what grace, what kindness you show unto us, Lord. But now it's time for us to get back to you. Lord, it's time for us to present ourselves that living sacrifice. God, it's time for us to open up wide the door of our heart, the door of our minds, and allow you to renew us, refresh us, revive us. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to meet us around these altars of prayer. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's come around the altars here tonight. Let's take opportunity. I ask you to pray for Sister Stacy, Brother Lee, Brother Freddie, Sister Courtney.